97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
The Bee or not the Bee.
All right, these are a mixture of stories that come from either the Babylon Bee, which would be satire, or their real headlines. I'm going to read the headline, and of course everybody in the room, including Tom Shalhoub today, will have to tell me whether or not it's the Bee or not the Bee. First one, Los Angeles mayor's podium stolen during news conference touting drop in crime.
Wow.
That's a tough one.
I know.
It's plausible.
It's almost though, if you were trying to do a parody, would you go that far?
Yeah. It's two on the nose.
Yeah.
Maybe it's podium guy from,
is the criminal. Yeah, is he part
people
of...
People steal podiums, Ryan.
I know they do, but is he a performance artist? Is he trying to show something here?
I think it's real. That's my guess. Tom, you got a thought?
Let's just go with no, it's not real.
I'm going to go with the B.
What did you say it was?
I think it's real.
You think it's real? It is the bee.
The bee.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of good for humanity.
Right, right. Quote, we have made significant progress in the city on homelessness and crime. And hey, where are you going with that? Exclaimed Mayor Bass, suddenly as her podium was whisked away by a member of the city's unhoused population. Quote, I was like saying crime is way, way down. And the people of Los Angeles are seeing that with their own eyes. Unquote. She just continued. I like the idea
that
she would continue with the speech.
I'm glad that didn't actually happen. And if it did, I don't know that it would make a difference.
Now, here's one that's really going to stump you.
Okay.
Adam Schiff robbed in San Francisco, forced to attend ritzy campaign dinner with no suit.
Tom?
No comment.
That's a real story.
You know it.
We got the man here in the studio to prove it.
I pulled some great quotes from this. This is from Fox News, actually. I guess it's welcome to San Francisco, joked attorney Joe Crotchet's press agent who was holding the dinner supporting Schiff's Senate bid. He says, you probably know this, Tom, he actually says, Adam Schiff, yes, they took my bags, but I'm here to thank Joe.
No.
So he actually addressed it.
Anywho.
Yeah, and then Adam really showed.
Nothing to see here.
Right, yeah. Adam really showed himself tonight, said Crotchet. He'll be a great senator. He's going to change the Senate tremendously. The apparent theft came just days after the San Jose mayor, Matt Mahan's security guard, was assaulted in downtown San Jose Tuesday.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's all very, very real.
Are you pulling for a senator shift, Tom?
I mean, I don't know if I
it's going to be huge.
I've had my fill of doing Adam Schiff, so if he were to just fade away, I would be very happy.
That would
happy.
Be the real favor?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I don't have to borrow my wife's makeup anymore.
All right, next one. Caitlin Clark becomes highest paid WNBA player in history with a lucrative four-figure annual salary.
It's not four figures, though.
I heard that there's a salary cap in the WNBA, right? So she's not making that much money.
Really?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Because it was supposed to be like $70,000, $71,000 was the contract, but does that mean it's real?
I mean, I would say, what does it say in the headline? That she is highest
paid? She's the highest paid WNBA player in history with lucrative four-figure annual salary.
I think we're meandering around.
Yeah,
maybe five figures.
I think
it's
you figured
four
it out.
And five.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. This is the bee. Experts noted that the deal effectively turns the entire WNBA player compensation structure upside down, with the Indiana franchise shelling out an annual salary level previously only enjoyed by society's heavy hitters like part-time babysitters.
$70,000 to play basketball for 4 months, and a $20 million shoe deal though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's got those deals. She's got the endorsement deals.
Yeah.
And that's
she's gonna Caitlin Clark is gonna be okay.
Yeah.
So and she's already done a lot for women, so she'll keep going.
Next one, the legal ramifications of racist umpiring.
Ooh.
Oh boy. I'm gonna say that's real. It's
I don't really know if I want to hear it if it's a parody. I don't want to know what that article sounds like. I'll say real. Umpiring?
Racist umpiring.
I'm gonna go with the B on this one.
This is a real article.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's been kicked around quite a bit in the last decade when I was searching. I'm like, man, this is a topic that's been written out about a lot.
Racism?
It says, yeah. Overall, umpires exhibit pitcher favoritism when their race matches the pitchers and batter favoritism when their race matches the batters.
Who's... No, they don't. Who's studying this?
That, and like, and one of these studies, too, a Bleacher Report went in and looked at the study, and they're like, okay, we can see that you have something here, but there's a lot of variables that you weren't considering.
Yeah, and like, what if the pitcher's bad? What if the hitter's good?
That's what they said.
I mean, the pitcher's a variable, the hitter's the variable, their skin color is a variable, the umpire's skin color is a variable, the umpire's experience is a variable, their bad mood that they came to the game in might be a variable. How do you... Oh, man, that sounds to me exactly like a conclusion that they drew and needed to find a study to verify it.
You're exactly right, and that's what Bleacher Report found, too. Now, this is a newer article than what they were looking at, but like I said, this has been discussed for a long time, and they said... Your sample size is enough that you could have just had a lot of rookies in the sample and it would have, you know, skewed things. So, yeah, that is a real article, though.
It's ridiculous.
So just be on the lookout because you'll probably hear about that again.
What, for a white ump?
Yeah.
What are you looking out for?
Well, just be on the lookout because I'm guessing that you will hear something about that in your lifetime and probably within the next year or two. All right, next one. Columbia protesters clarify they only want death to America after America's done paying their student loans.
This is a B. Oh, that's the B.
Yeah, it's a perfect
it is, yeah.
B headline.
It is.
Protest, but wait.
Yes. Quote, death to America in like 3 or 4 years when I graduate. Shouted one student protester. America truly is the great Satan that ravages and oppresses other countries and deserves to be wiped off the face of the earth. As soon as the American taxpayers finish you off, paying our tuition loans. As part of this agreement, Columbia students vowed to maintain barely passing grades in all of their liberal arts classes for the duration of the time it takes taxpayers to cover their debt.
Tom, have you experienced any of these protesters? I mean, at the universities, but in New York City, have you?
No, I stay away from anything like that. You know, I'm I used to be a city dweller, but now I'm up in the suburbs and. Mm-hmm. You know, and if I see that anything's going on, I don't want to be a part of it. Yeah.
It seems, I always question, the more attention we give to it, of course, the bigger it's going to get.
Yeah.
We were talking about the 2020 protests. Like, when did they stop? Was there a collective like, okay, we're done with this and we're going to start pivoting our attention another way? Because as long as the eyes and the ears are on them, they will get bigger and bigger, it seems like.
And it's the same group of people. Occupy Wall Street, then it morphed into BLM. And, you know, they all take kind of the Soros and other big, these big left-wing money that comes in. And the same people that did BLM are now doing these protests. So it just kind of revolves. And to be honest, a lot of these young people, I hope that it doesn't ruin their reputations because I want to give them a little time to be idiots. Because there were people on campus when I was in college and they were talking about Israel, and this is back when they were saying they were pro PLO, you know, they were like, yeah, I'm pro Yasser Arafat, and they were marching on college campuses in Boston and in Cambridge. So they were dumb and they probably wised up later.
Sure.
And when they were 30, they had a corporate job and they said, oh yeah, I'm glad nobody you know, put my picture on social media back then. So these kids, hopefully, maybe we can give them a little time to be dumb. I mean, break up the protests.
Yeah.
Don't allow any of this, you know, the anti-Semitic nonsense. It's unsafe for Jewish students to show up at Columbia now, and they're a quarter of the school.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But I think they in the old days, you allowed people to be stupid when they were young, and I hope we're going to be able to give these fools the same benefit of the doubt.
Question, like, what is it going to look like for people to run for president in 30 years when— It's been completely common and normal to document everything.
Yeah,
like, there'd be a video of everything.
Yeah, so we'll let it go, essentially. You know, it will redefine itself, I think, because everyone will have the same kind of past online.
Yeah, one more for us before we go?
Real quick. Hillsdale College, which is a Christian college, reports no violent anti-Semitic protests for 180th year in a row. It's both true.
I was just saying, both is true.
Yeah, it is true. It's the B, but it's true.
Ah.
So just like most of the good ones, that's the way they look.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you, Tom Shalhoub. Thank you for being in and giving us some of your time this afternoon.
Get more at 971talk.com.